Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N+1 studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfurt. In this podcast, we explore the world of age group triathletes. We will be looking at real-world challenges of being an amateur endurance multi-sport athlete. I am your host, Linda Ward, along with my co-host, Brian Schenkenfelder, the long time no see.
It has been a while.
It's been.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know what? It's 2021, and I'm still phenomenal. Let's
go. Glad to hear it. I'm glad you, like, didn't go the opposite direction and just say, you know, forget it. It just sucks.
Yeah, no, it's good. We've made it through Christmas.
Yeah.
It was a good Christmas. This was a year where Alex was just really excited about Christmas. Pretty much the whole month of December. We had like a little advent calendar and he would go out there and change the day every day. He was much more excited. I don't know if he believes in Santa, but he was much more excited about Christmas this year than he was in previous years.
Well, it's been kind of a uneventful year and so much stuff of, you know, am I going to school? Am I not going to school? Am I doing virtual? What am I doing? I don't get to do this. I don't get to do that. Oh my God, Christmas is a guarantee. It was going to happen.
He likes presents. That's well, really that what too. It comes down to. That's okay.
Yeah.
He was really excited all month. And we got some extra goodness out of him, too, because if he got out of line at all, we'd be like, well, you know, we can always tell Santa.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it got cold right around Christmas. I was like, man, it's a good thing you're getting all that coal for Christmas. We keep our fireplace lit. But yeah, it was exciting. It was a good time.
I got to be the SNL mom this year. You see the Saturday Night Live, you know, where everybody's, oh, the stuff they got. And mom's like, I got a robe. And it's all she got. I got a robe.
So all you got this year was a robe?
I didn't even get a robe.
So you just walk around the house naked?
No. I have my one from last year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
But my husband had ordered me a gift, and the mail had gotten so screwed up. My gift didn't get here until like 2 weeks after Christmas. And my older daughter, I don't know what she got, some piece of like plastic junk. Really? I don't even know what it was, but it was like, okay. You have Amazon packages arriving every day for yourself. Thanks for thinking of me, sweetie. And then my other daughter, she was like, she actually got me the Magic 5 goggles.
Okay.
But she, you know, it was like an email gift certificate. Nice. So there was nothing to open. There. She's like, hey, Mom, let me forward this to you, you know. So I sat there watching everybody else open up all this stuff. And I'm like, this is great. I get like invisible stuff.
I got a few things for Christmas. I got surround sound.
Ooh.
Which is kind of funny because like the weeks leading up, we found our old surround, which is probably what gave her the idea. I found the old surround. She found the oldest surround sound. And I was like, oh, that's our old surround sound. We should put it in the living room. She's like, no, we won't leave it out here. Why would we do that? We sit in there. He's like, no, we'll leave it out here. Yeah, I know why she was pushing that line a while back. But it was really cool. It's a neat little surround sound. It's a bar where the ends can come off and you can put them behind you to give yourself a true surround sound type of experiment.
Cool.
Experience. And the bass in it is phenomenal. It was great. It was like you can feel the bass coming out of it.
Yikes.
We watched Jurassic Park. I said,
this room isn't that huge.
No, we watched Jurassic Park and you...
At least like all your windows are still intact, so you didn't go too nuts.
Yeah, we didn't turn up that loud. I'm too old for that.
The volume can only go to here.
Too old for that.
That's awesome.
I don't know what else I got. I got some clothes, gift certificates. Yeah, I don't know. Not a lot of some small stuff. Nothing else.
My parents in Massachusetts still have not got the Christmas gift that I sent them 2 weeks before Christmas. And it's food, too. I'm like, well, Mom, you know, when it gets there, I hope it's been cold where it's been sitting. Because I got them. My mom loves the bourbon balls from Rebecca Ruth.
Yeah.
So I bought a bag of those. You know, they're in a retirement home. You know, what do you get people that are 83 and 91? You get them consumables, you know. Yeah. So I got them coffee. I got them Pepperidge Farm cookies. You know, stuff that when I'd been up there, I saw that they go through. I couldn't mail them wine. That was like the one thing I wanted to send them, but can't really ship alcohol.
No.
But as far as I know, they still have not received any of them. I'm like, Mom, I think maybe the coffee will be okay by the time it gets there, but I don't know if I'd eat the bourbon bowls.
They might be a little hard.
She's like, oh, they'll be fine. She'll probably still eat anyway. She's 83, you know, whatever. We tried to do a Zoom with my parents and my whole family in Massachusetts. This is, okay, so Dad's an electrical engineer, you know, brilliant guy, but he is, you know, almost 91 years old. And they could not, we couldn't see them. They could see us.
Right.
And we could hear them and they could hear us.
Well, that's all you really
need.
We
never could get my mom or my dad to figure, I think my dad just like didn't even want to deal with it. It's like my brother's holding up his laptop going, see this little thing over here in the corner, Mom? Can you push the button? So she would turn on the camera. She never.
Now, were they using a laptop?
Yes.
Laptop may not have a camera.
Well, yeah. See, I don't know what they were thinking because.
Because I've got two laptops right here and neither one of them have cameras.
My dad has a desktop and my sister got him a camera. And I worked with him for like 2 hours when he first got that to get that working and getting everything set up. He never did turn on the microphone on. We just stayed on the phone and that was fine. He could hear me good. So that was good. So I don't know why they didn't do that. Mom tried to do it on her computer.
Yeah.
And then I think she went to the phone. I don't know. It was funny. It was, you know, an hour and a half of me just on mute and everybody could see me talking to Mom trying to get everything working.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was an interesting. Yeah, all the grandkids were there. It was good. And my sister is a micromanager, and she's like, "So we haven't heard from Christopher, and we haven't heard from Erica." I'm like, "Oh my god! All right, you can orchestrate all this. We'll just sit here and talk." It was fun. Back with the family again.
Yeah, we did my parents' Christmas Eve. We always do my parents' Christmas.
You always
Eve.
Do that Christmas Eve.
Because yeah. my parents were brilliant as a kid. When I was a kid, we always had Santa come on Christmas Eve. We would go to church and magically presents would arrive when we got back from church at 6 or 6:30 or whenever. It was always dark because it's winter, so 5:30 yeah. Mass at 6:30, Santa had come through. I never did quite figure out how they were able to pull that off. Eventually I figured it out like much, much later in life, like when I was like 20 something.
Oh!
My mom was always like the last one out in the car, just always. She was a woman, so she...
Yeah.
Takes longer to get ready than the guys. So my dad would always take me out to the cars like, we gotta get ready to go. Let's get in the car. Let's get in the car. And that's when my mom would put all the presents out.
Wow, she was fast.
Yes. Yeah, they were very well organized. But yeah. They were brilliant in doing it that way.
Yeah.
They get the joy of like seeing me come in and go, ah, or my sister, ah, presents, presents, presents.
Right.
And they get to sleep in Christmas morning.
That makes for a very late night, though.
Not really, because you can go to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock, because it's 6:30.
So did you open all the presents on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, the next morning you play with them, and my parents would just get to sleep how long they wanted to sleep.
Wow.
I personally think it's brilliant. Now, my wife doesn't subscribe to this formula, so...
No.
She was up to like 2 or 3 in the morning putting the presents out, and like tired all Christmas Day.
Well, I mean, my family, yeah. No, you did, you opened up, you could open up your Santa presents before Mom and Dad came down in the morning.
Okay.
So they could sleep in a little bit, but you didn't open up anything that was under the tree. And that was just the stocking stuff. You could just do the stocking stuff. Unless there was something like real big or whatever, like the year I got a bike, you know, Mom made sure that she was up.
No, I'm usually up before my son, so it's not a really huge problem in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up way before my kids, always have been. Yeah, it was nice, too. My youngest daughter, that she moved out last year, and she's in an apartment. She's in town, so we see her a lot, but not a whole lot. And this was Christmas Eve was the first night she'd slept in the house. And wake up and have both kids.
There you go. Yeah, we visited my parents on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Her dad came over.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister's still not letting anybody in their house, so we didn't see my sister-in-law.
In Cincinnati, aren't they? Oh, your sister-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we missed my sister, who was up in Cincinnati. She came down Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get a chance to make it up Christmas Day to see them.
Oh, okay.
Although we did go up that next day, and I got to see my uncle.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good, since we missed the whole Thanksgiving thing this year.
Yeah.
So I did get to see them. I'll see my sister at some point. No big deal. I didn't see really any of the in-laws. Didn't see my sister, but, you know, hung out with my family.
Yeah.
Immediate fams.
This year, Christmas was just very simple, it seemed, for a lot of people, and low stress. You know, I was kind of bummed. I mean, it was the first year since I've been born, probably, that I didn't go to church on Christmas Eve. And that was a little weird, but made scheduling, you know, there was nothing. Okay. Sit around and eat. Drink some wine. Awesome.
We went into the new year. We were going to go out of town for for New Year's and go to hotel, pool, give my son something fun to, even wanting to go to hotel or pool. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to do that.
No.
We ended up doing a Zoom call with our friends because none of them wanted to have a party. Kind of a dull New Year's Eve.
Well, my New Year's Eve. I managed to catch the COVID.
You got the COVID.
I was pretty sick, actually. I caught it. I don't even know where I caught it. I must have caught it the week of Christmas. Nobody in my family got it. Nobody that I know that I was around, including you all, nobody got it. I know a lot of people that have it right now, but they did not catch it from me.
So you say.
I snuck out of the house and sneezed on everybody. No. I mean, as soon as I started feeling bad, I mean, I stuck it out at home and got tested. And I mean, I ran a temperature of 101.1. I've been sick in like 3 years. I was sick.
Yeah.
It was not a whole lot of fun. And I'm healthy, thank goodness. If you're not healthy, yeah, this is bad.
Can be.
It can be. It's scary because it affects people so differently. That was more the concern than actually being sick, so.
I've known a lot of people that have gotten into just about everybody's walked out on the other side of it without too much problem.
Yeah.
I'm mostly 40-somethings. Yeah. It was just another illness that's rolling around.
Yeah. It can turn bad quickly, which I guess is what the concern is. I did a lot of breathing stuff. I just tried to keep moving, rested, but tried not to sit still all the time, to keep my lungs moving. And I mean, and I'm an ex-smoker, so I was like, hopefully my...
Dude, you haven't smoked in years.
I know. It's been, but still, you just don't know. You just don't know. Is it going to settle in? Right now I've got a friend who's got it. He's an athlete. He does ultras. And he's like, it feels like there's a bunch of tiny monsters in my lungs that are trying to push out. I mean, he's coughing up a storm.
I've only had one friend who had it really bad where he was like, yeah, I felt like someone was sitting on my chest for a day or two. And then it passed and life was good.
I still feel like somebody's sitting on my chest. I can take a deep breath, but it's almost like an allergic reaction. Like, things are just swollen shut or something.
Just some leftover inflammation probably.
Yeah. The aches were the worst. Like, who was driving the truck that hit me?
Yeah, that makes it just like the flu then.
Yeah. I was pretty positive I had the flu, and then, no, that's not what the test said. Oh, son of a biscuit.
That's very similar to the flu when you get the pain. You just feel like you're just going to die. That's fun.
Yeah. I take like 2-3 Tylenol a year. I was taking 6 a day just to kind of keep on top of the headache and the aches. And for about 3-4 days, it was rough. But luckily got through the other side.
You tried to give me the COVID.
I tried. Day after Christmas sat there. And how many pieces was that horrible puzzle that we did?
It's like 500 or something like that. It took a while.
And your wife gave up, and your wife like fed me wine so that I would continue to do that.
Yeah, we were there for a couple hours easy. Yeah.
And then it was 2 days later, I'm like, uh-oh.
So either I've had the COVIDs before, or I'm asymptomatic, or I'm just impervious.
I think your whole family's impervious.
Well, we did have stuff that rolled through in February, which wouldn't have surprised me if it was that. My son got it. He got it really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it really wasn't. He had a fever for a couple of days, and he had a bad cough for a little while after that.
Well, his whole class.
Whole class got it.
Yeah, including the teacher.
Yeah.
Well, actually, she had flu, though. She had, but that's one of the other things now.
That one wouldn't have surprised me, because he had a kid in his class whose dad traveled a lot back then.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still going to some of those international airports, which is basically how it spread early on. It wouldn't have surprised me they're seeing evidence of it having been around a lot longer than the Chinese claimed it to have been around, which is fine. I mean, it just is what it is. And that's probably what kept us from probably getting it this time around. Yep. Some type of lasting anti,
which is wild because T-cells I didn't, I work in that school. I was around you all, and I didn't catch any of that last spring. But like I said, usually I'm pretty.
Although healthy. Alex was pretty isolated for that most part. I try to stay fairly isolated for a while.
Yeah, but I was around the whole class.
Yeah,
I was in this. Granted, anyway.
Well, they've shown where it doesn't really transfer from kids to adults very well either, though.
Yeah.
I just was reading a story about North Carolina. They looked at like 5,000 kids or whatever, and there were no cases of kids going to adults in that whole thing. Huh. There, most of the, and almost all the infections came from the outside and not the actual schools themselves.
Right.
Just community spread.
Unfortunately, I do know of a child under the age of one right now that's tested positive. I don't know if she's sick, but her father, that's the youngest that I've
been. Yeah. It's wild.
It is a wild, yeah. Hopefully, you know, vaccine's here. I'll get vaccinated in the next few weeks because I'm a teacher. Hopefully by the fall, we'll...
Why do you need a vaccine?
I'm going to do it anyway. Because I can. Because I don't know how long my immunity is going to last from actually having it.
The immunity is long lasting. It's about the memory, the T cells and stuff. I'm not an immunologist. I do follow it. It appears that you have cells that understand different types of attacks and generate antigens.
Right.
At that point in time, the antibodies only stay in the blood for a few months at a time. If you get COVID, you should have the antibodies for a number of months, and then they go away because the body doesn't need to keep producing them because there's nothing attacking you.
Right.
And it maintains some type of long lasting for it. Yeah. And they are pretty sure that's going to happen. Now, the problem's going to be, and this is where we're going to have why I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do in 2021, as this virus, like all viruses, begin to mutate.
Yeah.
The vaccines will probably not cover all the different strains, a lot like the flu.
There's that possibility.
We're looking at another virus that's going to be around long term with different strains. The vaccines will help, but we're still going to have spread even with the vaccines. The vaccines are like the flu. I mean, they're going to keep you from getting it. It may not be as strong when you get it.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be transmission. The question is, are we just going to move on from it and realize that it's just part of our life? Or are we going to continue to be, oh no, the vaccine hasn't eliminated everything? Because that's my fear, is that people think this vaccine is this cure-all. But it's not going to be a cure-all. The reality of viruses and stuff like that are going to be around. We're still going to have a caseload going forward. Are we going to continue to do what we're doing, which is a real problem for me when I look at how am I going to race this year? What are races are going to be like?
Well, hopefully it'll be like the flu vaccine where they'll come up, you know, they'll change it and hopefully get it right. I mean, the same thing with the flu vaccine, that they don't always get it right as to which strain we're going to have. Do you get vaccinated for the flu every year?
No, I've never been vaccinated for the
Do you get the flu?
I've had it once or twice. It's been probably 8 or 9 years since I've had it. Last time I had it was rough.
Yeah. Anyway, questions we don't have the answers to yet.
Well, I mean, but that's the reality of it. So now, we start looking at, hey, we're in a new year. It's time to start thinking about racing. What are my chances of actually being able to race this year? And how scuffed are the races going to be that we actually have if we do have races? I mean, it's like the Derby City Marathon is in May. Well, late April, mid-April.
Which one?
The Derby City Half Marathon.
The Louisville, yeah.
The Louisville one.
The Derby, yeah.
And that's about as scuffed a race as I've ever heard of. They're having it out at the park. It's going to take place over, 7 days or something like that?
I think they're doing 4 days. You can sign up. And I don't know if they took any new entries. Yeah, and they're doing it at the park, and you can sign up for a slot. And I think they have, 10 or 20 people going at a time. I don't know for how many hours. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty scuffed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what our racing is going to be like this year or not? That's the question I have going forward. I think
we're going to see, I mean, especially this spring, you know, it's going to have to be, you know, 10, 20 people at a time. It's, you know, no awards, you know, the things that they've been doing, you know, the few races that I've been able to go to that I've been involved in. I don't know that we're ever, you know, Boston Marathon's not happening in 2020, we've already said. I don't think we'll see any of the major marathons happen this year.
Well, that's where I get to the point of, am I going to be racing this year? Can you find a couple, or is it okay just to do some of these scuffed races that have limited fields, that you're really not competing against anyone because they spread you out so much?
Right.
That's some of the problem from what I standpoint. Like, if I'm racing, I want to be among other people.
Yeah.
Because I use other people as part of my racing, especially the bike. I'm very big on using other people to get myself through the bike faster than I would on my own.
I mean, the two small tries that I did, I don't know. I mean, people were spread, you know, I don't know. I feel like the transition area was spread out, but I don't feel like nothing else felt really different to me.
Yeah.
That was a pool swim. I mean, there were plenty of people for me to pass on the bike.
The question is when you get to the bigger races, the more interesting races, you know, you're talking about a sprint that takes place in a pool that limits their entry.
I wonder how I wish we'd gone up to Indy this, because they actually did have that.
That's what I'm looking at. I guess part of it's going to have to be is like, okay, where do I know they're more likely to be able to race? Mm-hmm. Indiana will mm-hmm. probably be much more open about their races.
Probably, maybe.
Ohio hasn't seemed to be that. Maybe Tennessee. We can all go down to Florida and race.
Sure.
And maybe I have to look at a Florida race at some point. Yeah. That's just such a long way to go to race. It makes it tough.
You did it as a vacation.
Yeah, but it's really tough to travel that far for a vacation. I've gone to Chattanooga for a race a few times, and that's kind of the limit of how far I want to race. I guess Nationals up in Cleveland would have been about the same distance. When you start going further than that, I remember going down to like Alabama for a race, and that was like a 7 or 8 hour drive. It just gets to be a long way.
Yeah, but if you do it as a vacation and you race at the beginning of the week, you know, on the weekend, and then stay the rest of the week.
You still have to drive, and if you're looking at a 10 or 12 hour drive and then race the day later or 2 days later, that's not easy. Easy to do.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And my thought at this point is I'm going to begin the process of training. Mm-hmm. I'll probably make a call. Because when I look at 2021 as an age grouper, the race season is always right around July, August timeframe.
Right.
My build up to race at the end of July, beginning of August, that's generally when I try to make my primary races of the year. I go back up 2 months. July is when I have to commit to racing. That's when I'm going to do my build-up. That's when the training gets very specific, very hard.
Right.
You go back 4 months before that, and that's really when I got to start my season, 3 to 4 months before that, which gets you to about February. So I don't really have to commit to anything right now. My thought process is let's go through parts of base, get through February, March, April, maybe make the call around Derby. To how much do I want to commit to living in a pain cave for a couple months for maybe or may not be racing or scuffed races. That's what you're looking at. Someone who, like myself, who races and is serious about racing and that I want to give my best effort in races. I don't want to just race to race. There's no point in that. I don't find a point in that. I want to build up, train.
You're not one of the people that's like, hey, let's just go, you know, destination. Da, 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 da. Yeah.
A lot of people race because that's just what they do. They got to race. Yeah. That's the reason they train or whatever.
Somebody else is doing it. You're doing it as friends, whatever, you know.
For me, it's about what is the best I can do. Mm-hmm. I'm training to get myself to my best shape to see what I can do in a race or in a series of races just to see how my training does. Can I get to a point where I can have a high quality race where I can go out and give my best and perform at a level that is high for myself.
Well, and this year especially would be different because you didn't race at all last year.
Right. I'm coming off a year where nothing happened. Which is why I'm looking at doing some base just to add some variety to my training. For the most part, this last year's been the same thing.
Yeah.
And this is probably something we're going to take more with this podcast is follow our season. What kind of training are we going to be doing as the year goes on? How did the training go? What challenges we're facing as humans who live life? I have an 8-year-old, 9-year-old son. All the fun that's associated with that training, having to eat a diet that consists of 30% McDonald's.
I remember those days. Oh my God. How many times have we eaten here? They know my first name and my order.
and the challenges associated with that. So from my standpoint, I'm like, okay, let's at least go into a base season this year just to just change things up. Mm-hmm. Try to get back into running more. I did very little running last year. And I've been ramping up my running. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm a short course runner, racer. My volume doesn't have to be that much this time of year. Generally, a 30-minute run is all I'm looking for. Yeah. What I'm looking at now is, okay, I need to start thinking about speed. My key race is 10K pace. That's pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could do 10K pace for more than 2 minutes now. I'm sure I could if I had to.
There was a bear following you.
I could probably do 5K pace at that point. I'm looking to start injecting some speed into my workouts. I'm probably looking at throwing in some 2 minutes of like marathon pace. Mm-hmm. Not very fast. For me, that's going to be probably an 8:20. I need to look it up. About 8:20 mile would be my guess for marathon pace.
Right around there.
Because my half marathon is probably just under 8, 7 something, 7:50.
My full marathon was like.
Yeah. Because my 10K is 44, which is something like, what, 705, 710?
That's
somewhere
like
in that range.
My half
that's
is
been mine, is about 710.
And I'm sorry, in the previous life, too, by the way. I haven't done any speed work in 2 years. So.
I'm looking at probably 745, 750 is probably my half, and then probably 815-ish for full marathon pace. We'll look it up. I'll bring that back next time. I just haven't had a chance to think about it that far.
We haven't had to think about it.
I haven't had to think about it. I've just been running easy. I've been biking easy. Now that the weather has changed, and it looks like we're in for a...
winter?
A very average winter. Every day has been low 40s, 20s and 40s, which I think is the average for this time of year. We have not gone off the average much at all.
No.
Which is kind of weird. Usually we'll have cold spells and warm spells and cold spells and warm spells. We just haven't had any of that. It's just been constant.
We had a couple of 60, like I got to bike.
That's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it has been a few weeks. One day last week when I was, week before when I was sick, and I was like, oh, it's so nice. No, don't go biking, Linda, stay inside. You're sick. I'm like, damn. No fun. Yeah, we definitely an average winter.
At this point, the biking has been mostly on rollers. I try to get out when it gets into the 50s. We haven't had much of that. It's been in the 40s for a while now. Swimming, it's been good to get back into swimming. I'm getting faster there. I'm working on technique. But I'm going to look to introduce some faster running into my days. The big thing I'm looking at now is I've got to make a commitment to losing weight. I haven't stepped on a scale in probably 6 months.
Oh, wow. I have, unfortunately.
I'm going to guess, well, this may have to be like this running thing. I'm going to guess I'm in the high 150s at this point, like 158-ish.
I'm going to say what?
Which means if I'm going to commit to racing this year, I probably need to think about losing 10 pounds.
I'm looking at losing 18.
Oof.
Yeah. That's tough when you're 54.
Yeah, for me to get down into the 140s is challenging. Usually the low 150s is when it really pushes back against me and I have a really hard time. I've been able to race in the 140s a handful of times. If I can get down there, I'll be fast. That's usually...
It's so sad because I'm like creeping up to 140s. I'm really not liking you right now, Brian.
With my frame, I could probably get down to like 145, 144 and still race at a high level. If I got below that, I would probably compromise with strength.
I was gonna say that way too small.
I would compromise some of my strength. I'm pretty sure I could get down to that 145, 146, 147 range and still race at a pretty high level. So by next week I'll step on a scale, we'll know what my weight is, and then we'll have to track in the coming months my journey to see how successful I am to get down to that 148 range.
Linda's just not.
I'm going to guess that I'm probably will not succeed. We'll see. We'll have to get the calorie counting back out and.
One of the challenges, yes.
That's really a tough thing, and doing it on a, like I said, a 30% McDonald's diet, 30-40% McDonald's diet.
So this is going to start. Let's see, after your birthday, because you get pig out tomorrow.
But I won't. I'm not a big eater. That's not my thing.
I'll have to see how many donuts you get.
Oh, crap. That's probably true. My kryptonite.
I almost brought donuts today, but I didn't have a chance to go to the store. We'll have to see.
The weight loss kryptonite donuts. Yeah, my wife always
gets... sabotage you. It's pretty
My wife always gives me those little donuts, and I'll eat two or three of those in the morning.
And then
it'd take about a week for me to go through them all.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty good. If I have them, the small ones are great because I can eat a couple of them, get my fix, and it's only like 150, 200 calories.
Right.
Perfect. I can work my way around those couple hundred calories.
Yeah, I mean, a box of like fresh, warm.
The big donuts, those are like $300. Those are about 300 calories a pop, and it's easy to consume two of those.
Right.
In which case, now you're like, well, there's my breakfast.
There's my breakfast and my lunch.
I hope I don't get hungry for a while.
I need a piece of fruit.
I'm working on about a 2,000 calorie is where I need to be. Mm-hmm. The way I'm going to play this game this year, we're going to try something different.
Okay.
I'm going to keep track of the days where I can do better than 500 calorie deficit.
Okay.
I'm going to use my watch, calories consumed from biking, swimming, running, and then I'm going to try to track calories. My goal is if I can win like half the days, I'll lose those 2 pounds a month for 5 months. if I can win every other day. And that's going to be my goal. As long as I don't have any bad loss, lost days where you have to like have multiple win days to account for it. My goal is to be right around the what I burn half the time, and the other half the time try to get that 400 or 500 calories below, which if you do the math over 28 days, that's 2 pounds. If I do that for 5 months, that's 10 pounds.
I'm trying to not count calories as much as I am increasing protein, decreasing sugar, you know, just cutting. No, I don't.
Well, see, you don't have the McDonald's part.
No, I don't. I have much more control over what I eat. Although my husband's the one that cooks, and sometimes I'm like, oh, seriously, you had to like cook this huge thing of pasta Alfredo sauce. And I'm like, ah.
See, my wife does a good job of it. Our dinners here are very, very healthy.
Yeah, there's not a whole
Which lot. Helps, because yeah. if I'm like today where I had Pop-Tarts as part of my breakfast, I'm probably pushing up the calories a little bit here today.
We have chickens, and so I have fresh eggs, but my cholesterol was high the last time. I'm like, dang it, those eggs are so good, and they're good for you. Well, maybe.
So are Pop-Tarts.
So we'll have to watch this journey and see how you do on that. Yeah, mine is definitely, I need to work on protein because my protein was low the last time I had blood tests. And I was like, so.
I'll have to see how, we'll have to see how the speed work goes on running.
Oh, yeah.
Because right now, I'm still at the 30 minutes. If I were thinking about halves or fulls, this is about the time where I would probably have to start pushing up to, if I were doing a half, I'd probably start trying to push up to like 45 minute is the base run workout. If I was doing a full, I'd probably try to get that up to maybe an hour. I'd probably do that in 5 minute increments. So if I were doing a long distance race, like next week I'd be doing 35, the week after that I'd do 40.
Right.
Week after that, it's a recovery week, then 45 that following week, and I'd stay at 45. I'd probably try to push that up to 60 if I were looking to do a full. Now you see why I don't do a lot of fulls.
Running with a group on Saturday, and you know, and it's my first run back, and I felt pretty good. I was surprised how good I felt after not doing anything for 2 weeks. And we finished at 4, and they're all like, oh, we're going to do a couple more miles. I'm like, yeah, I have no reason to. Y'all have a great time doing 6 miles. I'm good with my 4. Thank you.
That's the thing. One of the things I want to track as we go through this year is what I would do if I were a long course athlete versus what I'm actually doing as a short course athlete. And take a look at some of the differences in the training and the differences in time. Because if we think about this, I'm running 3 times a week. If I'm running 30 minutes, 3 times, well, that's an hour and a half commitment. You're probably going to have to, put another half hour into those. So really 3 times an hour, that's a 3 hour commitment to run each week. If I were doing 60 minutes now, 3 times, now I'm looking at a 4.5 hour commitment a week versus the 3 hour commitment,
right?
An hour and a half. And you begin to see why I don't do a lot of distance races. I mean, that's just the base running.
Yeah.
As we go into the year and we look at what I would do if I were racing a full bike-wise, that's where things get really wonky as far as time on the bike, time running, your long runs.
We'll have to talk about that next week because it was Century this spring.
Yeah. This is going to be an ongoing
type
conversation, I think, as we go through the years. The differences between kind of your short course athlete, which is me, versus what it would be if I were a long course athlete and what that would entail.
Which may be me some.
Which might be someone like you. I've done my halves. I'm not eager to get back to I'll be honest.
Probably not this year for me, but next year. So I need to start thinking about how I'm going to take.
And that's kind of the direction I'd like to kind of go with this podcast through this year is what does a journey look like for an athlete? What are our challenges? What do we have to deal with? How does the training go with all these challenges among ourselves? I'm a guinea pig for this year's podcast.
There we go. All righty. Well, that was fun. So great to be back.
Yes.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, 3Sport Endurance. If you're looking for a coach, check them out at go3sport.com. And we will talk to you all next week.